Well, I'll tell you something that happened this morning that happens a lot. And that is the Lord changed my message this morning. I praise the Lord for it because I want to do what He wants me to do. I want to preach what He wants me to preach. And He's got to help me this morning. So y'all pray for me. And just ask the Lord to help us this morning. Now, we're living in a perilous time. We're living in a time that, you know, the Lord knows what's going on because He's in control. Not only that, my Savior is seated at the right hand of God the Father today making intercession for our sin. And He's up there with everything looking down on us and knowing that we are in the trouble that we're in now. We haven't had trouble all of our life. This whole world is full of trouble. And we have had all kinds of trouble and all kinds of burdens and stuff in our life. But, you know, one day it's going to be a better day. Amen. One day, as she was singing that song, talking about sitting down by the river, well, Sister Mayhem, it's your right in a minute. I call you Shelby sometimes, so it kind of confuses me when I try to call you Sister Mayhem. Okay. She just said something whispered to me that I don't want any water. Well, I told her no, I didn't want any water about the time, or just after she sung that song. I thought to myself, you know, she's asking me, do I want water? And I've got all the water I need because, you know, one of these days, it ain't going to be long, I'm going to sit down by the riverside and enjoy myself. Praise the Lord. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Timothy, if you want to look there, that's fine. I'm not going to preach from there, but I just want to use this just for a minute on the day and the time that we're living in. I know that you get tired of hearing that, and I know you get tired of being in it, but that's all right. One of these days, the Lord's going to take us out, and everything's going to be all right then. In fact, I think everything's all right now. I praise the Lord for what He's done for me, and I praise the Lord for what He's doing for me and what He's going to do for me in the future, because He's still my Savior. He's still my friend. He's still my loved one. He's still everything to me. I can keep on going. He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the first 10,000 of my soul. He's Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And all of these things He is. Amen. He is. Amen. I am, He said. I am. And He is. Amen. All right. The Bible says here in chapter 3, verse 1 of 2 Timothy, we see that this know also that in the last days perilous times should come. While you look around and you know that there's perilous times already come, isn't it? This was written 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, no doubt. It was written and handed down to us to know that the times that it says, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. They're already here. They're not all here, but they're partly here. It says, for men should be lovers of their own selves. Well, Lord have mercy, look around at the men and the women too. This, for men should be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. Yes. Without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, furious, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heedy, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Yeah. That's sad, ain't it? People loving pleasure more than they love God. Sad, sad, sad. Says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. And it says, for this sort All they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with devil's lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. And then on down in chapter 4, you'll find that Apostle Paul, as he was telling young Timothy this, he also was telling him something else. He was getting ready to get out of this stuff. He was getting ready to go over the other side. And he told young Timothy, "Well, I am now ready to be offered." Can you say that today? Can you say what the Apostle Paul Apostle Paul told young Timothy? Can you say that? "For I am ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous of the judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." Now, are you loving his appearing today? Are you ready to be offered? Are you, as the time of departure is at hand, you fought a good fight, you finished the course, you've kept the faith. I pray that you have. I pray that I have done what I should have done at all times. I know and I realize that there's something, I'm not perfect whatsoever, but one of these days I am going to be perfect and I have a perfect body, and I praise the Lord for that today too. But in Hebrews chapter, I forgot the chapter now, but I think it's chapter 13, and it is chapter 13. We look at it, if you will, and let's pray now. Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity to be in God's house. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that's so precious. And Lord, the Word of God is so touching, Lord. It is your Word, and it's the truth. There's not a thing about it that's not the truth. And praise the Lord for that today. And we thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. And we ask, Lord, you'll bless us in a special way today. Lord, I pray that as we try to bring the message today, that I feel that you want me to preach this morning. Lord, I pray that you just preach through me the message that's needed this morning. And I thank you. I don't know why, but I thank you that you have given me this. And that you'll help me with it today. Have each one listen and take time to just listen to the Lord this morning, the Word of God. Amen. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you'll just use it for your honor and your glory this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 1, Let brotherly love continue. We were talking about families this morning and what families do when they get a little money or something like that from the whatever it is that they get from families that have gone on, family bodies that have gone on to be with the Lord. They'll get it. Inheritance, that's what I was trying to think, to get an inheritance. And, you know, when they get that inheritance, some way or another, it works on their mind, it works on everything that they got. And they think that they're a little bit better than somebody else sometimes. They don't even want to speak to the one that gave or left them that money. Isn't it sad that way people are today? But it's so. This little world's getting in worse shape than it's ever been before. But he says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers. For thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being ourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and in the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. You may not have a penny in your pocket, but praise the Lord, you got Jesus. You're just like a millionaire. Amen. I'd rather myself be a millionaire like that than to have money that I didn't know what to do with. It would make me sad. And you'd rather be like that? Well, God says he'd never leave you nor forsake you. He owns everything. So why in the world would we worry about something like we worry about sometimes? And I'm the same way. I worry about things that I shouldn't worry about. I worry about things that I should worry about. I worry about things that all the time. So I just have to worry sometimes. It's an old body that is about ready to be dissolved and be gone, take up another body, likened to the Son of God. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let's go on. Let's go on. Praise the Lord. And this is the Bible talking about the Lord being our helper. And praise the Lord, he is our helper today. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow. Consider the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. That is the Lord being our helper. Then he goes on to say that we need to beware of strange doctrines, and there's strange doctrines all out there. That's false doctrines all out there. We need to be aware of them. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines. But it's a good thing that the heart be established with grace and not with meats which have been profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar wherefore they have no right to eat which serves the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest of sin are burned without the camp. And wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore to him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here have we no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God, continue that it is the truth of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But be good to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Then he says, obey your ruler. He's talking about it there. I'm not going to take time to read the rest of it, but I will take time to read this right here. Closing words. He said, and I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of exhortation, though I have written a letter unto you in few words. Know you that our brother Timothy is set at liberty, with whom, if he comes shortly, I will see you. Salute all them that have the rule over you and all the saints, and they of Italy salute you. Grace be with you all. Amen. I read all that, and maybe some of it's not exactly what that we should be with this message, but all God's dealings with men have always, always been through a covenant, have they not? We think, you know, when you say this, that, and the other, but it's always been through the covenant that he will not deal with us except in the same manner. What is a covenant? It's a pledge, is it not? That's all it is. It's a pledge. God dealt with Noah with a covenant, and that covenant was honored through the flood. God dealt with Abraham by a covenant that he preserved and kept, and it was renewed continually to many of his seed. David was the man after God's own heart, yet God dealt with him by a covenant. He deals with us today by a covenant. It is an everlasting covenant. You see, the writer of Hebrews says, now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that the shepherd of the sheep, throughout the blood of the everlasting covenant. This covenant is the only ladder which reaches from earth to heaven. We are his, first through the covenant whereby Christ purchased us, and secondly, through the covenant by which we have accepted the finished work on Calvary. And this covenant here is certainly not a covenant of works. It's not a covenant of what we could do, but what has already been done.
Amen.
Everything that's been done by the Lord Jesus Christ. This world is made up of sinful creatures with lives that are not worth a hoot, so to speak. They're destined to go to hell, but there is a covenant that can cancel all of that through the blood of the everlasting covenant.
Amen.
All right, let's look at it. There's the parties of the covenant in verse 20 in Hebrews chapter 13. It's a party of the covenant. It says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord for that. Let me say first of all that this covenant was conceived long, long before men come into existence, so to speak. Before the foundation of the world. It was made between God the Father and God the Son and witnessed by God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And the covenant was not made directly between God and man. Man did not at that time exist whatsoever. You say, well, I thought there's always here. No, just God the Father, the Holy Spirit. And soon, although man did not exist at that time, Christ stood in the covenant as a man's representative. God reigns supreme, and he enters into a covenant with his Son and with the Holy Spirit and arranged, decreed, and determined and purposed the salvation of his people. This, in other words, then made Calvary the greatest event of all history. Let me ask you something. I don't agree with everything that I hear on TV. But every once in a while, I run across something that I listen to for just a little while. I always had men tell me that older than I, that was in preaching profession, so to speak, and they say, well, when you listen to something, you have to take the meat and eat it and throw away the bone. And I know exactly what they mean when I listen to some of this stuff on TV. But you know, there's one program, and you may know who it is, and I don't care if you do. In fact, I'm going to tell you anyway. You might be upset with me if I tell you, but that's okay. I take some things and just throw them out of my mind that they say because I don't believe in exactly the way they say it. In other words, they say things that I don't believe in. And I'm sure if I preached in front of them, I might say things that they don't believe. But anyway, it's like this. Jimmy Swaggart.
Uh-oh, won't get to come back no more, will I?
I'm just kidding. That's all right if that's the way it is, but anyway. He has a program, a message of the cross. And I don't know if any of you have heard it or not, but they pretty straight on that. And he's even got a book on Anyway, he's got a book on eternal security. That's what I'm trying to say. He wrote a book on eternal security. He said, I want to let y'all know today that we believe in eternal security.
Amen.
I always thought, you know, that they did not. Didn't you? He said he did. And he wrote a book on it. I don't know what he did or not, does or not. But and then message of the cross, they'll get down and they'll talk about it, you know. And they talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, and they talk about eternal security sometimes. In fact, if they don't, then they're the ones that's in trouble, not me. Because I believe in eternal security. I believe in it as much as I believe that I'm standing here right now. Or why would, is a God as big as he is and knows all things and do all things and he can't save somebody and keep them saved? I know men are terrible and women are too. But when you get saved, it's different, isn't it? The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Our life has changed. Now, what you see is the same thing. The same old ugly James Albert. But if you could look down inside a little bit.
Amen.
Jesus living in now.
Hallelujah.
In the form of the Holy Spirit. To convict me when I'm wrong. Convict me. And you know he's got a way about him. That you know it wrecked him.
Yep.
You do something wrong. I ain't telling you to. I'm just saying if you do. If you do something wrong and God don't convict you of it through the Holy Spirit, then there is something wrong. You better check up a little bit. Amen? Because there's that covenant that God has dealt with all through the history here of the Bible, so to speak. And there's a decree that's determined purpose of salvation of his people. And this made Calvary the greatest event of all history. Now, the covenant that was decreed by a determined council in Acts 2:23, it says, him being delivered by the determined council and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Peter made it known in his great message on the day of Pentecost. What does he say? He said the crucifixion was the fulfillment of a foreordained covenant. The covenant that was declared by the devout prophets is found in Isaiah 53, verse 6. He says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah was just one of the foreordained, prophets that declared the fulfillment of the ordained covenant. He told of the suffering of the Lamb of God. But then he said, yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. Ain't that strange? No, because it was foreordained by God. And we see not only that, but there was a covenant that was defended by the divine powers in John chapter 3, verse 27. Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, but for this cause came I unto this hour. When Jesus came to this world, he well knew that his path would lead him to Calvary. He always knew that. And the Jews oftentimes would have stoned him to death, but the divine providence of God overshadowed him. And in verse 20 of Hebrews 13, the Bible says, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. That's what I'm talking about today, the everlasting covenant. Every covenant has its are within it the stipulations or proposals of that covenant, and this everlasting covenant was no exception whatsoever. You see, the Father says he will give his only begotten Son. The Son says this, in the fullness of time, he would take him upon himself the form and nature of fallen man and bear the sins of all people. And the Holy Spirit said he would go to all men and show them their need of redemption and will bring them to the cross and to Jesus Christ. That's the way it happens.
Amen.
If it didn't happen that way to you, then check up. But verse 21, it talks about the power of the covenant. It says, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. Now, by the blood of Jesus Christ, think about it. By the blood of Jesus Christ, sin is canceled.
Right.
By his agonies, justice is satisfied. And by his death, the law is honored. And by his marvelous grace, the sinner is changed into a new creature. Just praise the Lord this morning.
Amen.
We ought to be thankful. What God's doing for us, what he's already done for us. I hear people say his work is finished. As long as a person in this world, his work is not finished. The Holy Spirit is convicting. And notice here, before you make some foolish reply that this is his making, the scripture says, make you. And that's it. Everlasting covenant has within its capacity the power to take the worst sinner that ever lived and make him a new creature in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every genuine, born again, blood washed saint of God is a manifestation of this great truth.
Amen.
Every bit of it. And praise the Lord, I feel like running. When I think about what God has done for me and what God is doing for me, what God is doing for you, you say, well, he ain't doing nothing for me. You better check up a little bit. You better take something and knock yourself on the head and get something going there in your mind so that your heart might know that God is doing something. Well, I want to tell you something that I tell you a whole lot of times, and I'm going to tell you again. I can't even walk without him holding my hand.
Amen.
I was thinking this morning, laying in the bed for a little while, before I got up, I said, Lord, have mercy. How good God is to me.
Amen.
I could tell you a whole lot of things that God's good to me about. But I feel like singing a song if I can think of it. Would y'all be all right with that? I'm through with my message anyway, almost. When God gets through with it, then I'm through with it. And you might say, well, yeah, I don't know if God had a whole lot to do with that or not. Well, you better quit thinking and thank God. Jesus Christ and what he's doing for us. Amen.
Amen.
We think, I've always heard it, we think long, we think wrong. So forget about who brought it to you and what he said. Think about what Jesus Christ is doing for us.
Amen.
Think what he's going to do for us. You know, we in trouble now as far as this election and everything. But I'm not worried about it one bit because I know God's still in control of it.
Amen.
And we do need to do some things about it, though. We need to pray. First of all, we need to pray.
Amen.
Secondly, we need to do what God wants us to do. Thirdly, let's just quit worrying about it and let God have his way in it. Because he's in control anyway. Ain't nothing we can do about it but pray.
Right.
And let God have his way.
Let me find that song. Does anybody feel like coming to the altar this morning? I think all of us need to anyway. Do we not? Well, I'm going to sing this song if I can get it right. It goes along with what I just said a few minutes ago. Would you stand, please? Not for me, but just stand there in honor of the Lord. Anybody want to help me sing this? You come on up. I'll let you help me. Nobody else is crazy enough to do it. All right. If you feel led to come to this altar this morning, please do so while I'm singing, or while I'm trying to sing. I never can sing, but why? When I look around and see the good thing he does for me, I know I'm unworthy of it all. All these blessings he freely gives, I owe my life to him. I've got so much to thank him for. Well, I've got so much to thank him for, so much to praise him for. For you see, he's been so good to me. When I think of what he's done and where he brought me from, I've got so much to thank him for.